Hello everybody and welcome to Trade TV on day one of the 2020 AFL official trade period. Al Payton here, joined by Glenn McFarlane. We'll get to Macca in a second to go through what has been a very interesting day of trades. Of course, we've had a couple of days of free agency already, but now we're into the real stuff. Just a reminder, of course, we've got the live blog running all day on the Herald Sun, News Corp websites and on the app. So get a subscription and get on there so you don't miss any of the moves that are happening, and they're coming thick and fast. In the last hour or so, we've had a couple of trades go through. The first one was Zach Langdon from the Giants to West Coast, or I think that's a third round pick, currently pick 54. And just before we came on air, Oleg Markov was traded from Richmond to the Gold Coast Suns for a future third round pick. Any surprises there, Macca?
Not really, Al. I think that was what we were probably expecting with both of those situations. I suppose when you look at the Zach Langdon one, that pick, as you said, will now be used to potentially, from the Giants, to potentially get hold of Jesse Hogan. I think that's the pick. They're going to try and do that as well. It's probably a good... The Eagles are looking, you know, we're certainly looking for that little bit of help around the forward zone. They've had a few little issues in that area. So, and with the Oleg Markov one, it was probably the right thing. Being a Richmond supporter, you probably knew that he was going to go at some stage, and it's a good opportunity for him. And I think the Suns will be all right next year. I think he'll fit in pretty well there.
Yeah, they've got a little club of ex-Tigers up there. I think I mentioned the other day, Richmond got him first by poaching Prestia and Lynch and Caddy, and now they've got Brandon Ellis and Markov going up there. So, yeah, it's an interesting little rivalry that we've got going between those two clubs. The other one that we think we'll hear something today, but we're still waiting, is Brad Crouch. The Crows have until 5 p.m. to decide if they're going to match St Kilda's free agency bid, and the clock is ticking on that one. We still haven't heard. Have you got any inside mail?
Well, I mean, I think all day we've been thinking that they'll blink at the last minute, the Crows, that they would get through and blink at that particular last minute and not match the bid. But we're sort of waiting, you know, we're T-minus, you know, a little bit over an hour now. So it's fascinating to see what's going to happen there. I think all along they've talked a big game, Adelaide, haven't they, about potentially matching, because they wanted that really early pick. They're not going to get it. The pick would be around 23 in that situation. St Kilda desperately don't want to trade. And you saw Brad Crouch yesterday basically saying that, you know, he's out. He doesn't want to be at Adelaide. He doesn't want them to match. He wants a clean, smooth path. St Kilda wouldn't give up pick 17 for him. They might have to if the Crows do trade. But they really don't want that. And certainly they don't want to give up a first-round future pick, Al. That would be even more so, given that it'll be less polluted, the draft, in a sense, with next-generation academy players next year.
But if the Crows sort of box themselves into a bit of a corner here, the way they talked about it, it'll be a bit, I don't know, embarrassing to then just back down and say, oh, okay, we'll take pick 23.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see which way they go. They did talk the big game, as we said. Then you've got to deliver, don't you, when you talk along those lines. I think the right thing would be to take the compensation and to move on, to use it and get another good player. Brad Crouch doesn't want to be there, so I think it... We'll find out really soon. It's going to happen very soon. But if I was them, that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, now, the other big news today is obviously no trades have gone through on this front yet, but we finally heard from Collingwood. There's been so much talk about the Pies. Adam Treloar has been the big story, and quite a few other players as well have been, names have been swirling around, and Collingwood's sort of been conspicuously absent in terms of telling us what's going on. So we got Eddie McGuire was on his breakfast show this morning, and he said a little bit, which wasn't a whole lot. And then Ned Guy, the list manager, was on trade radio, and he, he had to answer a few more questions. I'm not sure how much information we actually got. I mean, reading between the lines, what did you take out of what Ned Guy had to say, probably especially about Adam Treloar?
Yeah, it was more what he didn't say, I reckon, Alan. I reckon around trade time, that's what it is. It's what people don't say. And if he was ever going to say anything, when Ed said that this morning, it probably shut his mouth even further, I reckon, in a sense, from Ned Guy. But what we do know, and today we're even more sure that Adam Treloar won't be at Collingwood. He can't be at Collingwood the way things are going. He's got that long-term contract. The Pies want him out. They want the salary dump in that sense. And he's basically playing the line, Ned Guy, that the Pies have done a deal with Adam to not speak about this publicly and work behind the scenes. But you know what? There's some really angry Collingwood supporters out there, and I think the Pies supporters do need a little bit of clarity and a little bit of information about what's going on, because there's some people there who are a little bit concerned Pies-wise. I think there's a few players who have been a little bit concerned about the treatment of Adam Treloar in a lot of ways as well, and you don't blame them. He's a player who's contracted for 5 more years on big money, and the club's trying to shift him out. It's it's just extraordinary. So there's so many different layers to this. I don't know whether you want me to go into Jaden Stevenson as well. I think that's fascinating too.
So that's absolutely fascinating. I was just going to say on Treloar that, I mean, Ned Guy, going back to what he actually said, which, as you say, wasn't a hot pot, but he sort of tried to just say, oh, look, you know, we don't talk about these things in public. It's, you know, every year we talk to managers and players and reassess the situation about where their future lies, and sometimes they want to move on and sometimes they don't. I mean, as you say, he just signed a massive contract at the end of last year. So I don't think if it was normal situation, they'd be sitting down at the end of this year to sort of negotiate where his future is.
It's a bizarre situation, isn't it? I mean, we know last year at the end of the year through that sort of trade period that there was a chance that, I mean, the Pies were really keen to see whether he could go to the Gold Coast and if he were able to do that, they could get hold of Matt Rowell. Now, that was never probably going to happen, but this time around, you know, Adam Treloar has dug his heels in a sense, and fair enough, he wants to stay in Melbourne, even though his partner will be on the Gold Coast for 10 months next year. He wants to stay in Melbourne and he wants to stay at Collingwood, but the Pies, the way they've been going, they don't want him there. You know that. It's pretty simple and pretty open. So it's going to be fascinating. That's going to be the big thing through trade week, what actually happens. And importantly also, what's the fallout from it? Is there a fallout within the playing group as well? Is there a fallout from a supporter's perspective? Because he's a very popular player, both with certain amount of players. Al, there was a thing recently where the Pies actually sent out some stuff to members and the like, and Adam Treloar was in the package as well. So it was just, I don't know, it's just a really bad feel, and I think it's going to be, there could be fallout whatever way you look at it.
Well, I mean, yes, as a Richmond supporter, I remember very well 3 or 4 years ago when there was a big bidding war, Richmond thought they had him and the Pies sort of took him out from under their noses, and, you know, they weren't shy about that, and then now it seems like they want to move him on. So, yeah, it's a bizarre situation. But if you had to put money on it, I mean, where do you think he'll end up? Because like you said, it doesn't seem like he can stay at Collingwood, but no other club has really come forward to say, oh, we'll take him, especially when they might, you know, have to pick up that huge contract.
Yeah, well, they will have to pick up that huge contract, but what they will do is have Collingwood paying a fair bit of that contract as well. So I think the smart clubs are just sitting back and waiting to see. Collingwood's in the situation now where they're desperate. They are in a situation where he can't go back and play at that club, not what's transpired. So I think the clubs now who are potentially interested in Adam Treloar, and it might be someone like the Bulldogs, if they did happen to lose Josh Dunkley, it might be that he's a good fit there. These clubs can actually sit back and wait, and as the pressure mounts on Collingwood to try and do a deal and organise something. So I think the pressure's back a little bit on the Pies, and they probably made it of their own. You know, they've caused a fair bit of it themselves by, you know, they've been very honest and open with Adam, but not with the public. So I think it's a bit of a worry.
Now, you mentioned earlier Jaden Stephenson. So again, Ned Guy sort of tried to play, you know, a bit of a straight bat there, but he was a long way short of guaranteeing that he'll stay at Collingwood, wasn't he?
Oh, long way short. He basically said it remains to be seen. When anyone says it remains to be seen, he's on the table. It's just a question of what they can get for him. If they can get enough for him and move him on, even though he's contracted, there's no doubt that they'll do that. Unbelievable to think that it was only 2018 that he, you know, plays so well in a grand final. He's a rising star. The football future is his in a lot of ways, and it's turned very quickly. He didn't handle hub life. We know that, and that had an impact on his performance this year, in a sense where he was dropped a couple of times. But it is extraordinary that you think, all, you know, just a couple of years on, he's on the trade table and the Pies are looking to see what they could get for him.
Did the gambling suspension, he sort of hasn't really been the same since then. Is that reading too much into it?
Perhaps a little. Certainly, this year he didn't handle hub life. If you speak to anyone who, and I think there's a lot of players in this sense, that's why I think this trade period is going to be massive, because players have been living in each other's pockets for most of the year. And so it does, it brings some little, it's interesting, little nuances as well that you see that clubs, you know, and players, sometimes they're going to move on. But I think when you're in together as in a hub scenario, it sort of pushes things a little bit further in regard to that. The gambling suspension didn't help. But I do think the club, I do think the situation this year, it's been an interesting scenario. I'm surprised that they're trying to trade him. I would be backing him into the hilt and trying to see whether you can make, turn him into the player that we know he can be. He's exactly what Collingwood needs. That's the issue. But they've got to get him playing back like he was in 2018, not playing like he was in 2020.
And what about Ned Guy ran through a whole list of other players as well, some guys who maybe the future looks a little bit more positive at Collingwood?
Yeah, certainly Brody Myercheck, and that's a really good result for Collingwood because there was a fair bit of interest from certain clubs who were just making inquiries about Brody. And Brody wasn't initially happy with the offer he got from the Pies, but a three-year deal with hopefully I think there should be a trigger for a fourth as well. He's a very good player for Collingwood and so crucial. They struggle to kick goals anyway. Imagine trying to kick goals without Brody Myercheck. So he's staying. That was one little bit of news that we got out of Ned Guy today. We sort of knew it. The Herald Sun's already written it a couple of times that Brody was going to stay. The Mason Cox one was interesting because there's been a fair bit of interest in Mason Cox, and he didn't deny Ned Guy that there's been a fair bit of interest in Mason Cox. But what he did say is that clubs looking beyond 2021 with Mason Cox. So that's a fascinating one to know whether and what's going on, because we know that he triggered that 2021 contract by playing the X amount of games this year, which was modified back because of COVID. So the Pies, certainly they're interested in hearing what anyone wants for Mason Cox, but Ned Guy was actually suggesting that Mason Cox is going to be at Collingwood for longer than 2021, three more years into the future.
Well, that sort of plays into then he was asked about Tom McDonald. There's been some reports, yeah. Matt Randell, yeah. Former recruiting manager, said he had some good mail that the Pies were into Tom McDonald, but I guess if they're keeping Mason Cox, they don't need another tall forward.
Well, he talked away. Ned Guy was quite happy. I think he probably was happy because of some of the intel that Matt Randell's been giving out on Collingwood. I think he was happy to just sort of say with Tom McDonald, I don't think we'll go down that path. So certainly there'd been some sort of interest there, but at this stage today, he's saying, I don't think we'll go down that path. He did also say that with the situation with Tom Phillips, there's certainly, I would think that Tom Phillips would move on. He almost did at the end of last year. There's been a few interested parties without anyone being super solid on it as well. Jordan De Goey, we're expecting to sign really soon. This is part of the problem as well. They've got this salary cap explosion at Collingwood that's causing all these problems. So if they can get the pen to paper on Jordan De Goey, as we expect they will soon, hopefully we can all move on.
How'd you like to be Ned Guy over the next 8 days?
Well, it's a tough situation, isn't it? Because you sort of feel for, I mean, the situation is Collingwood is the club that actually organised the contract for Adam Treloar, but I think now they've realised it was too long and it was for too much. So you look at that, and it's an interesting scenario here, Al. I reckon clubs are trying to get a little bit back on the players. I think with free agency and the like, that players probably had the upper hand there for a while. I think the clubs now are starting to realise maybe we've got to be a little bit stronger. But I just think the way you communicate things sometimes, it hasn't been great. I think we need more. I mean, I'm glad Ned Guy spoke today. I was sort of saying to someone the other day, I think the Pies need someone to talk. Like, all we've heard from Bucks is his tweet out there denying that the leadership group had actually said, we don't want Adam Treloar. That's great. I want clubs to be more transparent. They always criticise us, Al, when we might get something that is not quite in their bracket. They're not always transparent back the other way, which is always an interesting scenario.
I did have a little chuckle listening to Eddie this morning, just sort of laughing off the whole trade period. You know, all you reporters, you know, it's just all speculation. Come and talk to me when it's all over. Like, this is from Eddie McGuire, the media man himself. I mean, he knows how this works, and he was doing it himself for years and years and years.
He was the best at it too. He was so good at it. But you can understand from his perspective from a club, they're trying to keep it internally. You can't keep things internal these days. When you're saying to a player who has got 5 years on a contract remaining, you know, at about $4.5 million, that you would be happy for him to move on, it's always going to be a massive story, isn't it? Regardless. And it's Collingwood. So times it by five.
And you'd just be like, just keep this to yourself, Adam. Don't tell anyone. Yeah, it's incredible.
Exactly.
Now, the other news story that's come out today, which is quite interesting, is about Jack Stephen down at Geelong. So obviously moved there last year in the trade period, didn't have the year he would have been hoping. It was, a few injuries, that sort of still a bit mysterious, the stabbing that happened at the start of the year, which, we sort of never really found out exactly what happened there. But, where's his contract at? There's some speculation he might he's in talks with the Cats that, this might be it.
Yeah, if you have a look at that, there's no doubt that the Cats are having a discussion with him about the future and whether they can actually come to some sort of arrangement and work out whether he can be paid out and retire from the game. So we know he's had some issues. But if you look back, it might have been the first pre-season game, he looked outstanding, didn't he? He looked really good for the Cats and looked like that he would fit in really well there. But that didn't work out. And the way they're moving forward with, you know, Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins potentially coming in, as we expect really soon, that is something that the Cats are talking through with Jack Stephen now. Whatever we do, we hope that it's the right thing for Jack Stephen. And I think we know he's been through a bit of a battle off the field. And if it is the end of Jack Stephen, gee, he's been a good player. And you look at all those best and fairest wins he had at the Saints as well.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's unfortunate the way it's all ended for him. We sort of hope that getting back down the coast there would sort of help him out, which it has for some players. But it seems like he's still got some things he needs to deal with. So we obviously wish him the best there. So we're just signing out with a few questions here from viewers. What's happening with Ben Brown? Ray Stokem wants to know. Seems like Melbourne's in the box seat there.
Yeah, Melbourne's in the box seat. It's just ticking off a draft pick. You would think that would happen sooner rather than later. That's one that can get done. There's going to be quite a few ones that will hopefully happen in the next day or so, like Tom Hickey to potentially Sydney, hopefully can happen in the next day or so. What we want, Al, is we want these trades to be done. We don't want to be held up until early next week when we're waiting and sweating on things. So ideally, that's what happens. That'd be beautiful.
Well, especially this year, I know how we've done it in the past from a media point of view. You're normally all down at Marvel Stadium for the last night and the names are going up on the board and it's all frantic. I'm not sure how that's going to work this year. It'll all be virtual, I guess.
Well, it is. There's no doubt about that. And having said that, Alan, who's obviously listening in and watching in, he reckons I need to straighten up my horse photos in the back. They are that old, those horse photos, that they're probably falling off the wall. I think I need a new horse winner somewhere at some stage.
Did you back a winner yesterday, Cup Day?
I had a solid day, Al. My tips were not as good in the paper as I would have liked. So, but there's always Oaks Day and final day as well. So we've got a bit to go, hopefully.
Very good. Just quick one to finish up here. Carlo asking, what's Dodoro asking for now? So interesting negotiations going on with Essendon. They want to get Josh Dunkley from the Bulldogs. They want something back from Port Adelaide for Orazio Fantasia. We've heard some interesting names thrown out that Dodoro has potentially brought up. That's the way he likes to do these things.
He does. I love it when Stephen Silvani was basically saying he is the, I think he said he's the Marlon Brando of the list management scenario. So he needs to do that, Adrian Dodoro. He's a great fella, but my goodness, this time of the year, when I saw today that Biden and Trump were trending on Twitter, and I looked down underneath, Dodoro was trending on Twitter as well. So I thought that was absolutely fantastic. We've seen with the Fantasia scenario, they requested, it's an Ambit claim. We know what they do. They requested a few players, including Mitch Georgiades and Ollie Wines was thrown in there as a mix. But that's one of those ones where they throw it up and you would never think that any of that's going to happen. Certainly not going to happen, but hopefully they do a deal on that. The Saad one's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because Carlton are happy to give up their first pick, but they really want something back, later in the draft. And I think that's only fair, to be honest. I mean, Adam Saad's a very good player, but as a first-round draft pick, I think there probably needs to be something back coming back the other way.
Well, that could be a top 10 pick too.
That's what I mean. It's a really good pick. So it's one of those ones where, you know, that roadblock at the moment seems to be the issue. Effectively, it could be about a pick 8. Now, that's too much in my view for Adam Saad. He's a very good player. Not trying to downgrade him at all. And the Bombers are also, as we know, they're in the hunt for Josh Dunkley. Jai Corwell, as we've said before, is really keen to go there as well. Peter Wright's another possibility that could go to Essendon, because I keep looking at that Bombers forward line next year. And James Stewart, he's going to have to be John Coleman for the Bombers to actually kick some goals, because they really desperately need some people to kick some goals.
And, just to finish up on that, an interesting story we saw today from John Ralph that Sean McKernan was delisted by Essendon. So they, even though, as you say, they need tall targets up there, they didn't think they needed Sean. But there's a few other clubs that think he might be a handy insurance player at least. He's the great survivor, isn't he?
He is, and good on him, because I love the fact that he and I just had a look at the horse photos behind. They are really crooked. I'll fix them after this. John McKernan, he left Essendon and sent out a message on the same day that the Bombers played their last game. So he knew he was out and knew he was going to go somewhere else. And St Kilda would be a great option for him, I think, wouldn't they? So I think he deserves another chance. I was really surprised the Bombers didn't really give him an extra year in that sense. And obviously they came to an agreement. But I'm looking forward to seeing him in another jumper, potentially a St Kilda jumper, maybe kicking some goals next year.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Glenn. It's been another massive day. I haven't had my Twitter machine on to see if any Brad Crouch news has come through while we've been doing this, but we'll go back and check that. They've got, as you say, less than an hour now to make a call, the Crows. So
what do you reckon, Al? What do you reckon? Tuned. What do you reckon, Al? They're going to go right. for it?
I think they might try and wait to the last minute and hope no one's noticing and just take the pick 23 and move on.
Good point, I reckon.
All right, thanks, Macca. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, and we'll be back tomorrow for more Trade TV.